Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to another service here from Unity Center Light, from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. We always want to remind you to join us in Zoom right after this for fellowship and discussion about the lesson or anything else you might want to talk about. And so we look forward to seeing you there. And for those who are only listening on Zoom, on YouTube, if you would like to donate and support Unity Center of Light, which we really appreciate, if you just look right below, you'll see the Show More button. If you click on that, you'll see the different ways that you can support Unity Center of Light. And again, thank you for all of your donations.
Yes.
And we're going to get started now with Pamela.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we'll have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, April the 3rd. The key words are inner peace, and the affirmation is, I think peace, I feel peace, I am peace. Peace lives in my heart. At the place within me where all appearances of separation dissolve, I feel peace. Only God, only oneness. This peace is always mine, part of my divine inheritance. I carry it with me through every experience, every moment of the day. Nothing can destroy or even disturb my peace when I invite the divine presence, the Christ of my being, to be my constant guide. A passing thought of fear, worry, or anger is a reminder to breathe, to release negative energy, to embrace peace. I feel renewed when I meditate, enjoy a walk in a peaceful garden, or take a moment to appreciate natural beauty wherever I find it. My indwelling peace manifests all around me as beauty, harmony, and bliss. The scripture reading is taken from Psalm 29:11, and it reads, May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So we're continuing with this Lenten series called Release and Renew, Spiritual Practice for Lent in 2022. And this is part four. And there's going to be some in-depth things to think about through this talk. And I'm always striving for more than just saying, you know, we have to learn how to be good. We have to learn how to be loving. There's so much going on in our minds that are sort of challenging our desire to change from, you know, ego to spirit, that I just always want to look deeper and deeper into the potential of possibilities of how we can increase our practice and understand what the practice is doing. So that's what we're going to look at in more depth in this talk. So we're continuing with to explore the idea of how to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And the theme of this Lenten season, release and renew, is right in tune with this idea. And as we all know, the basic message in the teachings of Jesus is repent, meaning we must be willing to be changed profoundly at the depth of our being. And in the past, we explored the process of kenosis. I don't know how many of you remember that. We talked about kenosis, which is the concept of emptying yourself of yourself so that you become filled with God's glory. Okay? And we also explored the concept of metanoia, which is the spiritual practice we must go through to move beyond the confines of our existing mind. Okay, so metanoia is a spiritual practice or process we go through to move beyond the confines of our existing mind. Metanoia refers to a new-minded way of looking at life. Now, a third concept we explored in the past in terms of mental renewal is alchemy. For some of you, this may be new, okay? But typically, because typically when you think of alchemy, you think of someone who can change a crude base metal into gold. However, in the context of spiritual renewal, alchemy would entail the process of turning a crude ego into the kingdom of heaven or Christ consciousness. So the spiritual, the scripture found in Matthew 3:11 is referred to as the alchemy of baptism. Let me say that again. Matthew 3:11 is referred to as the alchemy of baptism. And it talks about John. So it says, John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water for repentance, or as we have learned, for a shift in vision or metanoia. But after me, someone is coming who is more powerful than I and whose shoes I am not worthy to carry. Meaning, I can't do what he can do. All right? He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. And we're going to look at that more in depth as we go through the talk. So again, the idea is that a profound shift in consciousness must be made. You know, we said it every week, but I don't think I can say it enough, all right? So thus, the introduction of the idea of alchemy is going to help us to understand this process. Now, alchemy is both a philosophy and a practice with the aim of achieving greater and greater levels of spiritual wisdom. That's the whole purpose behind it. And in researching alchemy, I came across the works of Carl Jung. Now, Jung examined alchemical symbolism, and that's what he was really into, is about symbolism. But he examined alchemical symbolism in theory and began to show the inner meaning of the alchemical work of a spiritual process in the achievement of individuation. Okay? Now, from a Jungian perspective, individuation is the process by which a person becomes a psychologically aware individual. So individuation is a process by which a person becomes a psychologically aware individual, a separate, indivisible unity or whole, okay, recognizing his or her inner uniqueness, meaning not getting your way of thinking about yourself from others, but recognizing your own inner uniqueness. You're an indivisible unity or whole, all right? So that's the idea of individuation. So to help explain this definition, let's review the levels of consciousness, of conscious awakening from a unity perspective. And many of you hopefully will remember these. So the seven levels, lowest level, herd or tribal consciousness. Whatever the herd's doing, that's what you do. Collective unconscious. We get caught up in what everybody else is doing, but a lot of it is unconscious. Race consciousness. The consciousness of the human race in general, individual consciousness, self-consciousness, spiritual consciousness, and finally the highest level, Christ consciousness. And we're going to talk about how Jesus went from spiritual consciousness to Christ consciousness in the crucifixion. Now, using each level as a baseline, each one of these as a baseline, we could see this concept of individuation as a way out of our entrapment in race consciousness, which is the totality of our beliefs, thoughts, memories, feelings, and experiences that have formed a mindset that is separate from and independent of God. Okay? God mind. Thank you, hon. Okay? So, much of the psychological conflicts within us is due to our reaction to the experiences we have with others. So, a lot of what we go through is because of the experiences we have with others. Good experiences, not so good experiences. Or their reaction to the consciousness of the collective, whatever everybody else is thinking. And the news has a lot to do with this. So we're told we're in a bad economy. We get wrapped up in that. Right now we're being told that prices of food and gas are rising. We get all emotionally caught up in that, which might break us away from the idea of God as a source of my supply. This is flu season or the pandemic. All those things pull us into the consciousness of the collective. And we systematically repress into our unconscious realm of mind what we cannot or do not want to deal with. And then the rest of the stuff in our mind just floats around in our conscious mind. But consciously or unconsciously, this herd consciousness this collective unconscious, this race-conscious stuff, is constantly influencing how we react to our life experiences and circumstances, and also how we react to each other. So, Jungian theory postulates that individuation is a process of transforming one's consciousness by bringing the psychological stuff from the unconscious realm of mind into the conscious mind, where it can be dealt with and healed. Because as long as it's in the unconscious, it's still organic. It's affecting our lives, but we're not aware of it. Okay? So this process brings that stuff up. And again, this is very similar to what are trying to achieve with the prayer, reveal in me that which needs to be revealed. Okay? That's a prayer that we've learned how to pray. So in addition, Jungian theory says that people who have advanced towards individuation, in other words, you made some movements towards this, herd, collective unconscious, race conscious, individuation, individual consciousness, you made some movements towards that, began to show signs of being mentally healthy, harmonious, mature, emotionally balanced, which is the goal of the prayer, heal in me that which needs to be healed. Okay, so reveal in me that which needs to be revealed, first part. Second part, heal in me that which needs to be healed. So from a Jungian perspective, individuation has a holistic healing effect on those who strive for it. They are made whole mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And this is because there is a cleansing of sorts, of the unconscious drama that creates havoc in our lives. The stuff that's going on in our unconscious mind that we're not aware of, that's still organic and affecting what's happening in our lives, the way we react to life in general. So with that in mind, let's go back to Matthew 3:11, the verse we refer to as the alchemy of baptism, okay? The change that happens in baptism. So John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water for repentance, okay? Or as we've learned from a shift, it's a shift in vision or metanoia. But he says, after me, someone is coming who is more powerful than I. Okay? He said, I can't do what he does. That's why I'm not even worthy to carry his shoes. I can't do what he does. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. My baptism and then his. Okay? So the revealing word defines water in this particular verse as a cleansing agent. It explains. When John the Baptist baptized with water, he washed away the sins of an external nature. His baptism did not enter into the unconscious. It takes something more powerful than water to purify the erroneous thoughts that we have accumulated in our unconscious realm of mind. Only the presence of God through Christ is capable of purifying the deeper levels of our consciousness. Okay? So John is saying, I'll get rid of that conscious stuff you got going with my baptism. But he said, that deep stuff you got going within you, he says, that's the next guy coming along. Right? So John the Baptist told us that the process he took us through with the baptism of water is only the beginning. It's only a preparation for what is coming next, which is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. And I know we've, in our previous religious experience, we might have heard that and not really fully understood it. So we're going to talk a lot about that. What does that really mean? Well, first, let's review the meaning of the Holy Spirit. I know we would do this a lot, but I want to keep that in the forefront of our mind as we go through this lesson. So the revealing word says the Holy Spirit is the third movement in the Trinity, okay? Which is, in theology, is designated as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, movement. I am conscious, I am expressed. There's a movement going on there. However, in metaphysics, we approach the Trinity as mind, idea, expression. Idea comes from mind, and then it expresses. Okay? So the expression is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It means you are experiencing the healing activity of the divine in the depths of your own conscious mind. Okay. Now, Charles Fillmore says, when the baptizing power of the word is poured on a center in consciousness, it dissolves all material thought And through this cleansing, purifying process, the individual is prepared to see and to discern their life spiritually. Okay? So that's why I said there's a process that happens here. Okay? That first baptism is you're working to allow yourself to be washed of all the negative, fearful thinking that's going on. But then, you know, you begin to discern things more spiritually as you are working on that. Okay? It doesn't happen all at once. It happens over a long period of time. Many of us can probably profess that we've been doing this for a long time. Okay, but this is why using affirmations and reading and listening to spiritual ideas and meditating on those spiritual ideas is so powerful. With all these practices, you are working on cleansing your mind with the baptizing power of the Word, thus taking yourself through a purification process. And yes, many of us have experienced baptism by water. I know I have. But that was only an outer acknowledgement of a willingness to embark on a deeper inner spiritual journey to cleanse and purify our mind, body, and spirit. Now, in an old issue of Truth Journal by Roy Eugene Davis, who talked a lot about the idea of awakening, he said, the easiest way to live in harmony with the laws of nature and the metaphysical laws of causation is to consider all activity and relationships as an opportunity to engage in the spiritual practice. Okay? So meaning in everything we do and in everything we experience, we don't want to practice baptizing ourselves with the Holy Spirit. Okay? In other words, you get ready to interact with somebody and some negative stuff coming up, you want to take a moment to baptize that negative stuff with the Holy Spirit, converting it. Okay? You want to practice pouring the Word of Spirit on any center in your consciousness that may be experiencing disharmony. Okay? Now, great masters like Charles Fillmore, Thomas Troward, Thomas More, Joel Goldsmith, and many others shared with us that Scripture tells us about the fact that there were two baptisms, that of John and that of Jesus. So sequentially, these are the two common steps in our spiritual development. John's work represents denial. Jesus' work represents affirmations. So denial with the baptism of John is the dropping of the old, negative, prideful ego self so that you are free to embrace the higher possibilities of your spiritual self. And again, from the revealing word, we discover that in the first baptism, that of John, through the power of the word, the confused, dysfunctional ego mind is removed from its position of power. And in this way, our mind is made ready for the second baptism, that of Jesus. So in that second baptism, the creative law of divine affirmation is set into action by our Christ mind. It lights its fire at the center of our being, and when thus kindled, it raises soul and body to a high degree of purity. This process is called regeneration. Okay? Now, to explain further, this concept of divine affirmations being set into action by Christ's mind is different from our normal practice of just reciting affirmations. Okay? Simply, this is when we evolve from reciting the affirmation to actually becoming the affirmation. We become a living example of the affirmation. So if you're affirming God is the source of my supply, you become a living example of that. Okay? In other words, if you hear that prices are rising and gas prices are rising, food prices are rising, that does not change you because you have become the affirmation of God as a source of my supply. And the answer, of course, is how do I get to that place? Well, to repeat what we have already said, this occurs when in everything you do and in everything you experience, you practice baptizing yourself with the Holy Spirit. You want to practice pouring the Word of Spirit on any center in your being that may be experiencing any kind of disharmony or frustration or fear or whatever. Okay? And this is in keeping with what we just said about the first baptism, the baptism of John. Because this practice of pouring the Word of God on the disharmony in our consciousness will eventually remove the confused, dysfunctional ego mind from its position of power. And when you do that, you're making your mind ready and receptive for the second baptism, that of Jesus. Okay? Now listen to this explanation. When Spirit lights His fire at the center of our being, and it is kindled, it raises soul and body to a high degree of purity. Fire symbolizes cleansing and purification. And we read in Luke 12:49, and Jesus said, I came to cast fire upon the earth. And here's the part you may not understand right away. And how I wish that fire was already burning. Okay? Meaning Jesus wished that we were already releasing the old to make room for the new. He said, I came to bring a fire, but I wish that fire was already burning. I wish we're already working on getting rid of that old stuff to make room for the new. Okay? Get ready for the old way of being, what we call earth consciousness, to get ready for the new way of being, which is Christ consciousness. So this fire that Jesus is referring to is the external or the eternal fire of God. Okay? Its purpose is to burn off the dross of negative thinking in order to reveal the Christ. And so what's happening, we got all this stuff going on in our mind. The Christ mind is right there, but we're not, you know, tuning into it because we're so, it's so covered up by this dross, what they call it, negative thinking. And the word dross means that which is worthless and impure. It refers to waste and garbage. You ever say to yourself, why is all this garbage in my mind? Okay. So if the circumstances in our lives cause us to think, speak, and act negatively, we will experience a deep inner emotional suffering, okay? Now, we think the suffering is because of what we're thinking, but it is because the dross in our mind, the reason why we're going through that is the dross in our mind has met the eternal fire of God. The eternal fire of God is always happening, always trying to purify us, always trying to bring us into a different state of being. And it's urging us to let go of that which is harming us and harming others, okay? So now what we need to understand to get through this spiritual process of regeneration caused by the eternal fire of God is that the fire of God only burns and consumes when it comes into contact with anything that is unlike itself. Okay? That being the dross, the wasteful negative thinking we harbor within. The fire of God is eternal, but the dross within us is not. Meaning if we would stop producing the dross, the negative fearful thinking, the fire would stop burning it, and we would stop suffering. Okay? And God is not making, there's nothing coming from God that's making us suffer. God is always trying to bring us into a state of wholeness. So it's important to note that the fire of God is not burning us. It's only burning the negative fearful thinking, what we were calling dross. So the psychological, emotional pain we may experience as we go through the second baptism, the baptism of Spirit and fire, is caused by our resistance to letting go of the old to make room for the new. So if you can see what's happening here, there's a tug of war going on. Okay? Spirit is trying to burn off that negative thinking. We're trying to hold on to it. Okay? So there's this tug of war. So therefore, if we want to stop suffering, we have to learn how to release and let go of the thinking and believing that's causing our suffering. And the fire of God is merely doing what it does, that being to remove anything that is unlike itself. Okay? So Spirit is constantly trying to purify us by trying to remove anything that is not like itself, anything that is not of love, so that our true Christ self can be revealed. That's the dynamic that's happening within us that causes so much emotional frustration. And again, this process is called the regeneration because it is a rebirth, a renewal. It is a complete renewing of your mind, body, and spirit. So the regeneration is a process through which our mind and body experiences an abundance of the spiritual life in our everyday life. Okay? The regeneration is a process through which our mind and body begins to experience an abundance of the spiritual life in our everyday life. And if you look up the definition of regeneration in a revealing word, we see a repeating of the process we have been speaking about in terms of the two baptisms. Okay, so regeneration, the revealing work, begins its cleansing work in the conscious mind and completes it in the subconscious, or what we might call the unconscious. The first step is cleansing all negative, destructive, fearful, unforgiving thinking from your mind. It is a general cleansing of the whole mind. After this has taken place, you're then ready for the second step, or the second baptism, which is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit into your thinking, speaking, and being. But the second cannot happen without the first. If the second cleansing occurred without first going through if the second cleansing occurred before going through the first cleansing, we would be unable to experience the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, because our mind would still be covered in dross, if you know what I'm saying. Okay, so you have to go through that first baptism, cleansing your mind, so that you can go through the second baptism of the Holy Spirit, hearing the Holy Spirit, experiencing the Holy Spirit. So how do we fully engage ourselves in the first cleansing, the first baptism? How do we experience the baptism of John? Well, it is by practicing in everything we do and in everything we experience the continuous work of baptizing ourselves with the Holy Spirit, as we said earlier. And again, as Roy Eugene Davis said, I repeat, the easiest way to live in harmony with the laws of nature and the metaphysical laws of causation is to consider all activity and relationships as an opportunity to be engaged in spiritual practice. And we read in Luke 12:49 that Jesus said, I have a terrible baptism of suffering ahead of me, and I am under a heavy burden until it is accomplished. In other words, Jesus knew that in the final stage of his regeneration, remember we talked about the seven levels, right? So he's in the final stage, going from spiritual consciousness to Christ consciousness. In that final stage of his regeneration, his transformation from spiritual consciousness to Christ consciousness, he knew that it was going to occur in the Christ, and he knew that it was not going to be easy, okay? Because anything that was not of God would be completely crossed out and removed from him. And he knew, again, this would not be easy. Well, we are, by a long shot, not yet anywhere near where Jesus was. You know, we're not at this place where we can, we are at this place where we can work the first baptism, which we do by being willing to release old negative thinking to make room for being spiritually renewed. Okay, so we can do that first baptism. And even if we can't quite understand the second baptism, the baptism where the Christ mind lights its fire in the center of our being, and when kindled, it raises our soul and body to a high degree of purity, even if we can't understand that, okay, can't grasp the concept, it doesn't matter. Because if you truly and fully engage yourself in the first baptism, the time will come when you will automatically understand and know how and when it is your time to go through the second baptism. So don't even think about the second baptism. Just work on the first baptism. And when you begin to really get into the groove of the first baptism, you will reach a point where you will know and understand it. Now it's your time to go through that second baptism. Okay? So I know that's a lot. I'm going to leave you with this thought from Chris Michaels, printed in Science of Mind magazine, April 4th, 2022. And he says, do not let any negative event pull you away from your intended result. No matter what happens or appears to happen, keep your eye focused on what you're striving to achieve. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have our meditation with Pamela.
Okay, Unity family, let's find that comfortable space where your feet are flat to the floor, your hands rest gently in your lap, and you close your eyes if you wish to. Take in a deep breath and begin to relax. As you are breathing in and out, you become aware of any tension leaving your body. From the top of your head down to the tips of your toes, you release and let go. You are now enveloped in the comfort of God's love. You feel this love saturating your mind and your body. You feel this love removing any anxiety and worrisome thoughts and feelings. There is great comfort in knowing that God is with you at all times and in all circumstances. From that thought alone, you feel your spirit lifted and you feel safe and peaceful. Notice as you're breathing, your mind is still and at peace. You are calm and at ease. Spirit is flowing through you now, and you can feel security and tranquility washing over you. Breathe deeply. And as you breathe deeply, notice that with each heartbeat, you become the peaceful presence that is within you now and always. Please take the following words as your very own. As I turn further within, I feel the peace of God surrounding me in a warm embrace. Enfolded in peace, I experience how it feels to have every nerve soothed and my mind swept clean of confusion. Once again, I focus on the presence of God, my source of life and living. No person or circumstance can disrupt this peace I feel in the quiet with God. I return from this sanctuary of peace, renewed, refreshed, and revitalized. In the sanctuary of my soul, God waits for me. And now let's take the next few moments to be in the silence of the secret place of the Most High, a place of peace, love, faith, and joy, a place you can go to at any moment of the day. So in this place, take the time now to pray, receive answers to your prayers, and to be still. We do give thanks, Holy Spirit, that you have heard our prayers this morning and you have answered them as you always do. We go forth this upcoming week in your presence, with your guidance and your love surrounding us always. And we are grateful. When you are ready, Unity Family, come back to your surroundings and join us. We are grateful in the name and nature of our elder brother and Washo, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you, Anne. This is a time we ask you to open, we all open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal life, allow some of that to flow into our spiritual home. We are very thankful for all the wonderful blessings that you have been sending to Unity Center Light. And so we ask you now to hold your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit, as we say our offering blessing together. Together, we bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. And for those who are only watching on YouTube, and would like to support Unity Center of Light. If you look right down below, you will see a show more. You click on that and you will see all the ways that you can give to Unity. And we thank you in advance for your donations. Thank you so much. Now we have Light Notes.
Yes, Light Notes for today, April the 3rd. We're inviting everyone to come out for the next Connection event at the Ken Hill Center where we have our church office on Saturday, April the 9th. Please come promptly at 10 a.m. and support our children and the parents for the Easter egg hunt. Also, you may pick up your palms for Palm Sunday and your Easter lilies if you ordered one. You may pick it up, and if not, you may want to do that right now by letting Patty know in the chat for Zoom or the church office at 301-464-5581. And speaking of lilies, Lily Sandberg will be our speaker on Sunday, April 24th. She will close out the Lenten and Easter season with her talk title, What About If I Don't Want to Let It Go? That should be an interesting talk. That's it for today.
Okay, so let's get ready to...
Bless the path that each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together.
Right. I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful. All right. Let's go right to our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, well, it's been wonderful having you with us today. We look forward to seeing you in Zoom. And if we don't see you in Zoom, we hope you have a wonderful week, and we will see you next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.